بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Respected friends and elders, tonight in the Taraweeh Salah, the 25th juz of the Quran was recited. Many surahs were recited. Surah Shura, Surah Zukhruf, Surah Dukhan, Surah Jathiya. And in these surahs, there are many aspects that could be discussed, many significant verses of Quran. For example, in Surah Shura, which is Surah number 42, Ayah number 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. It's no secret that today many people are finding it difficult in terms of their livelihood. Many people have fallen into debts. Many people can't make ends meet at the end of the month. There's been one trial after another, one setback after another. COVID, the floods, the riots, etc., the looting. And in general, inflation and other factors have affected many people. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahimahullah, who was the Shaykh of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahimahullah, he used to prescribe this verse that a person who is finding it difficult to earn sufficient livelihood, then he must recite this verse 70 times every morning. And preferably between the sunnah and faraz of the fajr. Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. So Surah 42, Ayah 19 is very effective, inshaAllah, for this particular motive. And while we are on the topic of wazifas, we will find that for different needs, or for general needs, there are different wazifas, several recitals that are prescribed in Quran and Hadith, or prescribed by our elders, etc. Like, for example, any person who is suffering in any difficulty, any form of worry, even in terms of his livelihood, then the frequent recital of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, the hadith says, is the solution to 70 problems, 70 worries, 70 issues a person may have. And the lightest of which is depression and anxiety, the lightest of those problems. In other words, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, if a person recites frequently with conviction, has got potential to alleviate the greatest of sufferings. My beloved father, rahimahullah, used to make a very important point. He would say that it is good to recite all these wazifas, but sometimes you should stick to one. You know, kisi ek wazifa ko pakar lo. Hold on to one particular wazifa and keep reading. You know, tap the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, via that recital, via that form of dhikr, with conviction on that one particular recital. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the call. Sometimes we read all. Sometimes try reading just one. Hold on to one of the many wazifas that have been prescribed and have conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will definitely see results. Continuing in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the issue of having children. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates whatever He wishes. The entire creation is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah wishes to create, Allah will create. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to bless with children and offspring, Allah will bless. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. Allah blesses whomsoever He wishes with daughters. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. And whomsoever He wishes, He blesses them with sons only. So some only daughters, some only sons. O yuzawwijuhum dhukurana wa inatha. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mixes them up and pairs them up and grants some couples, sons and daughters. Wa yaj'alu man yasha'u aqima. And whoever He wishes, Allah keeps them barren, meaning Allah does not grant them children or offspring. This is all under the mashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all in accordance to the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Undoubtedly, every married couple yearn to have children and offspring. But we have to understand that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing will happen without the wish of Allah. And it is important as a believer for us to accept the condition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Yes, we should try and adopt the means that could assist, inshallah. However, at the end of the day, we must realize that if a person is not blessed with children, then this is Allah's wish for us. And Allah knows that this is a better condition for us. It is again, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated the word of mashi'at. مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. Whoever Allah wishes, Allah grants children to, sons, daughters. And whoever Allah wishes, Allah keeps them barren and does not grant them children. This focusing on the mashi'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a very consoling factor. When something does not work out in accordance to our plan. Like for example here, a person and his wife want children. They are married for several years and there are no children. We should never give up hope. Many people were blessed with children after 7 years, after 10 years, after 13 years, after 15 years of marriage. Allah bless them with children. So we should never give up hope. But we should always console ourselves that this is the mashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here too, my beloved father, rahimahullah, you know, he had, on several different occasions, he would repeat certain verses of Quran. So at the time of disappointment, you know, when you wish something to happen, or you plan for something and it never happened like you wanted, then he would repeat the verse, that وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That whatever you wish is still under the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, Rabbul Alameen, who is the Rabb of the world. In other words, we wanted this to happen in this manner. It didn't happen. Why? Because the mashiyat of Allah wasn't there. Allah Rabbul Izzah didn't want it. So we must focus on that and then be content. You know, I had one very close relative who went through many difficult patches in his life. You know, he lost one child and then another child. His business also, his health also, etc. His wife predeceased him in old age. He is also now late, rahimahullah. But really, the thing that used to stand out in his life, he was a general person, not very educated in terms of deen, etc. But mashallah, 5 times namazi, used to try and attend the ijtimas, etc. But what I'm trying to say is not a person who was actively maybe involved in tabligh or somebody who you'd associate with some kind of effort of deen. But his iman was of this level. Whenever anything used to happen that disappointed him, any setback, then his words used to be, Allah knows best. Allah knows best. You know, and that way he used to console himself. And really, this is now iman. So in this verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, it is my mashiat. Whatever you want, whatever, you know, whatever has been bestowed to people, whatever people acquire in this dunya in terms of children, that is all under the mashiat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, those who do not acquire children, those who don't have children, that is also through the mashiat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer should console himself like this. Mawlana Yunus Palanpuri sahab, hafizahullah, mentions one incident that happened to him personally. He says that when he used to go for Hajj or Umrah, then in Jeddah he used to have a program at a particular person's house. The Tablighi Satis used to gather and he would give a bayan. So on one occasion, one person approached him and told him that, Mawlana, make dua for us or give us some kind of a wazifa to read. I'm married to my wife for many years and we've got no children. So Mawlana then tells him, you know, one of the many wazifas to read is to recite abundant istighfar, astaghfirullah, or any other form of istighfar. And Mawlana gave him a particular number to recite. Like for example, maybe, you know, 1,000 times morning and evening, or so many 100 times after every salah. He said, Mawlana told him, you and your wife both should do this daily. So the next year, Mawlana says, when I went back, then this person came for the program, and he came with a big hadiah, a big gift. He said, MashaAllah, JazakAllah, what happened? He said, Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with twins. He said, Alhamdulillah. The next year, he says, when he went, this person comes again to the majlis, and again with a big hadiyah. And again he says, Mawlana, Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us, now we have a second set of twins. And we're holding on to this wazifa, this recital of istighfar. The third year, the person attended the gathering, but he had no hadiyah with him, no gift. So he came to Mawlana, and he's speaking to Mawlana, then he says, Mawlana, you know, I have sad news. We continue to do that wazifa. My wife was expecting a third set of twins, but she passed away in childbirth. So sometimes I mention, you know, I say these wazifas have to be recited with yaqeen, with conviction, and it will work. It will work so much that sometimes maybe we won't be able to handle it also. That's how it will work. But with yaqeen. And here again, that same concept of hold on to one recital and persist with it, and persist with it, and knock the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were speaking about recital of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah being a very potent form of dhikr. Any takleef, you know, some student is worried about his final exams. Some person, you know, has given his CV and applied for a job and is waiting for a reply. Somebody is in some other takleef, whatever sort of, you know, anxious condition we are experiencing, recite frequently la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The hadith says that this is a cure to all your needs. So there was one brother in America, one of the masjids that we were reading Taraweeh in many years ago, and he used to live very near the masjid. And one Sati had mentioned this incident about him, and then if I remember correctly, I double checked with him also. He says that this person's wife had left him. His wife left him for whatever reason. They had, you know, an argument, disagreement, etc. And she walked out on him. And for months, she refused to maintain any contact with him. She did not come back. There was no contact. And this person obviously was now in this difficult condition. So he says, during those days, one Jamaat had come to the masjid. So the Sati was spending time with them, and then he mentioned to the Amir Sahib, you know, make dua, my wife has left me, and this, you know, condition is going on for quite some time. So the Amir Sahib told him, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And he also gave him a certain number of times, you know, after every salah. Continuously read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this brother, mashallah, kept on reading la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And he says, one day, you know, out of the blue, like we say, all of a sudden, with no, you know, informing ahead of time and no contact, etc., his wife just came back home. She just came back, knocked on the door, and she was back home. So mashallah, he was happy, ahlan wa sahlan, and life carried on. After a while, one day he asked her, he said, you know, what made you come back? And like that, all of a sudden, for so long you were adamant, you remained aloof, you remained away, you cut off complete ties, and all of a sudden you came, it was quite surprising. So she says that I had a dream. I had a dream that you took a second wife. So that's why I came back so quickly. So again, mashallah, the wazifa this person was reciting worked. How it will work, Allah knows. But they'll see a dream or whatever else will happen. But the recital with yaqeen and conviction, and the hadith tells us, the recital of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah will solve 70 problems of a person. So this was in Surah Shura. In Surah Dukhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the condition of the people of Fir'aun, that فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ. When they were destroyed, كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتِ وَعُيُونَ. They left behind so much of orchards and springs, in other words, so much of wealth of the dunya. They were living in great affluence. They built up their dunya and they made themselves very comfortable. But when the time of death came, they were all destroyed and they left all of this behind. But the part Allah mentions after that, that when they died and when they were destroyed, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ. The sky and the earth did not cry over them. وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ. And they were not given respite. They were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does the sky, or how is the sky and earth supposed to cry over the loss of a person, over the death of a human? So under this verse, the Mufassirun, like Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, and those before him also, have discussed this topic, that when a believer, when an obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dies and passes away, then the exact opposite happens. The sky and the earth cry over his loss. That spot where he used to read salah, that spot where he used to make ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now misses him. That he is no more there. He is no more occupying this spot with that act of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We normally associate these things to be, you know, and we identify them as lifeless objects. The ground is lifeless. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this sort of perception in the earth and the sky. So several sahaba, like Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, have mentioned riwayat of this meaning and of this nature, that every person has got a door in the sky, two doors in the sky, from which one door his good deeds go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other door is through which his sustenance comes down on earth. So every day, you know, there's some movement and some activity between these two doors. Good deeds going up and the rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending from the other door. So when this believer passes away, those doors are shut. And they no more witness this, they no more experience this movement. And over the loss of that, they begin to cry. The sky cries, the earth cries over the loss of somebody of value. And value is not with wealth. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us here in these verses. That these people were destroyed. They had a lot of wealth of the dunya, but they had no value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had no value on earth. They had no value in the skies. Although they possessed a lot of things of the world. Because value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, real value is through our a'mal and our deeds and our acts of obedience. So that person who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his value increases in the court of Allah. Even if he cannot afford many things of the dunya, he's living in a simple home, driving a simple car, or maybe doesn't even own a car, doesn't have very good clothes to wear, etc. That is secondary. His value on earth, value in the sky, value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is solely based on his a'mal. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The one that he will be most valued, most honored in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the most amount of taqwa. So his amal is right, his practice is right. So here, when a believer passes away, then the loss is felt not only by those around him, but rather even by the spot of ground. You know, sometimes when a person gets sick, a punctual musalli is always in the front saf, always in the masjid, and he gets sick and then, you know, he's in the hospital or at home for some time. Then people, when they visit, they joke with him also. They say, you know, the musallas are crying for you. There is a haqiqah and a reality to that. Ulama mentioned the spot of salah. The spot of salah, when a man dies and he leaves his dunya, the spot where he used to offer salah cries over his loss. You know, they say the one person passed away, when he died, the whole town was crying for him. The whole town was crying because he owed them all money. Allah save us. That used to be a joke before. Today it has become a reality. So many times it happens that the person leaves his dunya and he's got, you know, the debts on his head and he's owing people, he has usurped the rights of people, or he hasn't died, he has vanished and disappeared and taken the wealth of people with him. That kind of loss and that kind of tears is different. Here the tears people must cry, sensing the loss of a person of value. He was an asset to our society. That is why he is being missed. The earth and the sky cry because this person was an asset on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding this. Allah increase our value in his court, in his eyes. Allah increase our value on earth and in the sky. That will come with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will come with the adoption of this great quality of taqwa. Muttaqi banna farz. Our akabir mentioned that to become a muttaqi is farz. We always feel, you know, a person who's got taqwa is a very pious man, and it's only reserved for few in the community. You know, we don't always, everybody can't be so pious. This is something that comes to the mind. This is a shaitani thought. Taqwa is a quality for every person. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated the command of taqwa and the promise of rewards for taqwa many times in Quran. Because taqwa is for every person to adopt. So therefore, beautifully put by our elders, taqwa muttaqi banna farz. It is faraz for a person to become a muttaqi. Faraz for him to have the quality of taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the month of Ramadan as a great opportunity. It is not only Ramadan when we can become muttaqeen, but during Ramadan it's much easier. It is the month of taqwa. The month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us to adopt this quality if we so wish. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the farziyat of fasting, the obligation of fasting in Ramadan, Allah mentions with it, it has been, you know, made obligatory on you, like it was on those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may acquire taqwa. Have we made dua during this month? Has it crossed our minds? Has it been part of our mission, part of our motto, that I want to become a muttaqi? We have to want it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant it to us. So let us make this dua also. Every day we are making dua for different needs that we have. Needs of the dunya, needs of the akhirah. We ask Allah for Jannah, we ask Allah for protection from Jahannam. Ask Allah to bless us with the quality of taqwa. And thereafter let us make the effort inshallah in that direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.